Giselda's back, but a reality-changing wish threatens to destroy all she loves, including her stepdaughter. Oh, and her real daughter.
Welcome to The Walled Vault with Andre,
Michelle,
Emily,
and Luis.
We are a family-friendly podcast where each and every week we watch and review a different Disney movie. Be sure to subscribe on all podcast platforms and YouTube. Enjoy the show!
Hello and welcome to The Walled Vault, episode 189! Hello.
What up?
Oh, snap. I thought I was in the vault by myself. I was just quiet for a minute there.
Sorry.
What's happening, y'all? Let's see here.
We're very quiet today.
Yeah. I also have snacks in them.
Yeah. Somebody provided snacks at the beginning of the pod instead of 20 minutes in like we normally do. Well, we're usually on a strict timetable. Not today. This week, we are talking about the 2022 brand new Disney Plus original film, Disenchanted, starring Amy Adams, Patrick Dempsey, Idina Menzel, or Adele Dazeem, whatever her name is, and Maya Rudolph. Oh, and also Gabriella Maldacino as Morgan Phillip.
Maldacino.
Baldacino, excuse me.
Correct. And this came out last year, technically, right?
Right.
2022?
Yes.
What month?
November
or something?
Let me see. That information was not directly in front of me. It came out November.
November. Okay. So before we get into this, listeners, we're going to do the Louis question. I don't know. Luis, you have a question for us today?
All right. If you had to pick between an emotional support animal guy that would sleep with you and share your room, here are your choices.
Okay.
A rhino.
Oh.
Or a water buffalo.
Oof.
What's a water buffalo look like again?
Looks like a buffalo. It's by the water.
Like a bison?
Sure.
Has to sleep in my bed?
Yeah, it's your emotional support animal.
I guess I got a big bed then.
A water buffalo or a rhinoceros?
Yeah, I need to see a picture of a water buffalo.
Andre, are you computing?
I'm computing. Water buffalo. Beep, 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 beep.
I mean, I'm going to do a rhino because water buffalo looks scary.
But rhinos are pretty scary too.
I would say that rhinos are probably scarier in general than water buffalo. Well, I mean,
I'm pretty sure they could both kill us though.
Right. They both got these sharp objects coming out of their faces.
I just really love that they're emotional.
It's an emotional support animal.
It's not very soft for an emotional support.
Can I take him to work?
Luis.
Lou?
Can he take them? They're
your emotional support animal. They go with you everywhere.
Okay. Which one of these guys is going to fit in my cubicle?
In my car. I'm doing a rhino.
Can I ride a water buffalo to work?
Oh, which one is more rideable? That is the question.
I feel like the water buffalo.
I feel like the water buffalo is going to carry a little bit more weight than a rhino. And honestly, the rhino's back looks uncomfy to sit on.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like I could like saddle.
I would need a deep saddle to hang out with the rhino. So yeah, in terms of comfort as my emotional support animal, I'm going to go with the water buffalo. He gets to come to work with me. His name is Wallace. And,
Wallace!
He keeps me calm.
Wally.
Wallace the water buffalo.
What did you say, dear?
Rhino.
I'm going with the rhino.
Rhino.
I think Luis literally asked me this while we were in bed trying to go to sleep last night. So
it just popped into his head?
Yeah. So
Trey's trying to teeth on my nubbits.
I see. Hey, that nubbit's not for your mouth.
My number one thing I said was that, well, the water buffalo would stink. And he goes, you think the rhino's going to smell good? I said, no, you're right.
They're both stanky.
You're going to need a shovel in your bed.
Which one has less flies?
Hoo-wee. Oh, yeah. The smell is going to be Smells gonna be hard to
My
get
favorite
used to.
Part is that you typed in domestic water buffalo.
I didn't type that in, but that is what came up when I typed in water buffalo. What does a wild water buffalo look like? Because this is the guy that's gonna be coming to work with me. Oh, I think it's this dude with the big old horns. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer that question, I guess.
And, you know, I was kind of basing mine on who I thought would be more comfortable to, like, sleep in a bed with. And this water buffalo with these gigantic horns does not look that much more comfy than a rhino. But I'll stick with my choice. Me and Wallace are going to ride it out. We'll be fine. All right. Luis got up and left, so I don't know what he would choose. But that's...
He said rhino last night. I don't know
We'll see if he's changed when we get back, when he gets back. Hi. What's happening? You're on the pod. What'd you like to say? What would you choose? Okay. It sounded like water buffalo to me.
Water buffalo or a rhino, Trey?
He said, I'm going to eat the microphone.
Okay.
All right. That's
we're going to go ahead and go into our first impressions of Disenchanted. Andre?
Oh.
First impression.
Man, she went to me and I ate a cracker.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. First impression. So this movie is obviously a long-awaited sequel to Enchanted, which came out in 2007. I can't say that I, in particular, was waiting for it for that long. You know, I wasn't super hyped for an Enchanted sequel, but, you know, it's exciting that they were making one. We watched it for the first time just like last week or something like that, last weekend, and it was fine. It was a fine film. Fine-ish. Finer, fine. It was all right.
Fine.
It was just all right. I liked the direction that the story went. At some points, it did feel a little surprising to me. I didn't necessarily think that it was going to be a villain v villain kind of movie. That was cool, and I thought that the visual effects looked good, especially the 2D animation. I was really excited about seeing that, performances were all right. Go Amy Adams, go Maya Rudolph. Goodbye.
Trey, or first of all, Luis, was a water buffalo or rhino for you?
Rhino.
Okay. Decision stays the same.
If any of them are going to charge at you, you got about a few extra seconds if a rhino's trying to charge at you than a water buffalo.
Okay.
So...
No. You're worried about your emotional support animal coming to charge you?
Hey, man. Sometimes they're the ones who need the emotional support.
That's right. All right. It's okay, Wallace.
Who is whose
impression of Disenchanted?
First impression?
I thought that was the baby. It wasn't. It was Louise.
No.
That's inhaling profusely.
This movie sucks. Inhale profusely.
Do you like how I know my heart?
Okay. The baby thought it was
sucked. Literally, I tried my absolute hardest in any movie I've ever watched to pay attention. But it sucked. So I stopped paying attention when she cast the wish. Actually, not even. When she was giving this thing.
When they gave her the wishing wand.
Denzel and Courtney Collins.
Right.
Okay.
I
stopped paying attention at that point. I tried. It's up.
Couldn't get it back.
Nope. And the main reason why, I could see where it was going, and I was not very happy about what they were going to make my girl Amy Adams go through.
Because
I can't see her in bad light.
You know? She's never bad.
No. Wow.
Hey man, has she been in any movies where she's bad?
No. I don't think
kinda,
so.
She was kind of mean on The Office that one time when Jim was dating her.
No.
You all remember that?
And no, Jim deserved it.
And she was looking at Pam like, "He's my man now." You
Jim
remember that? That was as bad as I've ever seen Amy Adams be until
Amy
this movie.
Adams. She's so mean. I love Amy Adams. Okay, fair enough, Luis. So, Emily.
I have lots of things to say.
Lots of thoughts.
Lots of thoughts, lots of critiques. I did not love it. I didn't like it. There was parts that I thought were acceptable.
Yes.
Like the animated parts I thought were really good. I mean, it's fun to get into an era where 2D animation actually looks like a person.
Right.
Versus just it being 2D animation.
Right.
But like... you looking at this Idina Menzel and you're like, okay, hey, cheekbones, yeah, what's up?
He put her cheekbones in. Look you at know? That. So they didn't do that with cool. Elsa.
No. You know? So that's cool. And that was great. Like choreography wise, visually it was very pretty, but like I did not like villain v villain.
Right.
I thought it was too tropey. You knew where it was going, so I was bored because I was like, okay,
right,
all right, I know what's gonna happen now. I know what's gonna happen now. So I was well.
Kudos
I'll tell you what
you kept going.
I did.
I started getting bored. I was like, nope, I'm done.
I'll tell you what I wish they would have done later because okay. I have like a whole mind map of how this would have been better. But we'll talk about that later. Michelle, what is your first impression?
So going into this, my mom and dad had seen this when it came out and they called me after and they were like, this movie was horrible. Like, don't watch it. Just, you know, just stick to the first one. You don't need to see this one. And I was like, okay. And I didn't really have any expectations going into it. And I think because of that, it was about as good as I thought it was going to be. Very predictable, very corny. The music was just not as good.
The yeah. music was it like three songs had gone by before I was like, are they even trying with any of these?
Like, I yeah. get that they gave Adina a whole song and they wrote it like just for her voice.
You love power.
It wasn't good. No. You know what I mean? Like, I like the songs in the first one and it's very yeah. catchy or whatnot. And
I mean, I'm just saying happy working song or whatever. Exactly. Right. How Do You Know yeah. was like.
Right.
So they I were, think like, low key bangers.
Like if the music. Low-key thing. If the music was better, maybe it would have been better. But if your music couldn't really hold up to it, it was just kind of lackluster.
Well, and that's sad. It was Alan Menken. Like, come on, man.
I mean, it was good. I
Are
didn't
we at
think...
the end? Where it's like the downturn.
This is Alan's his final year. He's like, I'm done with this, y'all.
Yeah.
Bye.
And I mean, it was just it was very predictable, like you said. But I didn't hate the villain v villain thing necessarily. Mm. That was probably the better of the songs, so I kind of enjoyed that
oh,
part.
Song wise, that was better. Not. That was probably one of oh. the better songs.
Yeah.
Reminded I guess Rudolph what I mean is like story wise.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's super predictable. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it was just okay. Like, I won't be rewatching this one. Yeah. But the first one, I would.
Oh, yeah.
I think what happened to me when I was watching it is that she makes this wish and then, like, changes reality, right? And I was like, oh, okay, we're just doing WandaVision, huh? All right, mm-hmm. let's just WandaVision it up. Let's see where we're going. I want to see her husband, Patrick Dempsey, get on a train and, like, get out of the Andalasia, whatever, mm-hmm. Malaysia. What's this place called?
Andalasia.
No, Monrovia.
Monrovia, that's right.
Monrovia.
I wanted him to go from, get on a train from Monrovia and then, like, magically go through a barrier or whatever and then come out. And be with his coworkers and be like, wait, what's going on? Why do I have a sword? La, 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 mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay. And then the people in the town are gonna start realizing that like their realities have been changed and that they're gonna want to try to change it back and then they're gonna get the wand back. I went through the entire plot of WandaVision in my head at like minute 14 of this movie or whatever. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to see what happens. And then it was like, nah, we're not doing that. Now I was like, oh, but all that stuff is cool. You guys should have just made this WandaVision.
Dude, see? So I think we all have like similar things where it's like, well, you could have done this. It actually would have been a little cooler.
Right. A little smoother.
I don't know. It bothered me because, okay, so I guess plot-wise, people, I hope you watched it.
I hope you watched it.
Or, you know, if you didn't, I understand.
You don't watch it.
They're in New York. She's like the kid's a teenager now, and
she's still singing all the time.
Yeah,
the teenagers go a little over it at this point.
She's and like, truthfully, like life is they had a baby.
Yeah,
and life is
going
a baby that they never remember about. Half the movie, I was like, "Where's the baby?"
Yeah, nobody cared.
He's like, nobody cares about the baby.
Nobody cares about babies. Anyway, so they move to the suburbs, mm-hmm. and they get to the suburbs, and she realizes that life is still kind of funky.
Right.
So then the baby gets a gift from Corny and...
yeah, Corny Collins and Adele Dazeem come in. And they're like, hey, we're just visiting. Remember us from the first movie? And I legit did not remember for a while that... Idina Menzel's character was from New York and was just dating Patrick Dempsey in the first one. And then she got sucked into a whole world of magic and now she's a queen.
I thought they were going to be disenchanted as well. I thought everybody was going to be having like midlife crisis.
Right, marriages. That it would just like turn everyone from original Andalasia to
I thought they were going to be having OG issues home. Too.
That would have been cool if it had like swapped and the animated version became all boring and corporate and whatever. That would have been interesting. There's a whole bunch of ways this movie could have been more interesting instead of the one they presented.
Then, so she makes this wish, and then they wake up in the morning and everything is different or whatever.
Right. And it's a musical now.
Ay, caramba. Life. So now Amy Adams is in her enchanted house, and it's her modern house is now
magical.
Singing,
yes.
Doing like a Beauty and the Beast style Good Morning song.
She gave life to all of her appliances.
And then they go out on the street and they're literally in Beauty and the Beast.
Right. Like you see.
Walking down the street in their like little.
There's the
like,
baker with his tray like always. This fool.
Basically, I was okay with the Easter eggs.
The Easter eggs were actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Right.
But it bothered me that when I say we were in Beauty and the Beast, I mean like we were just in a house that had a coffee maker and a singing toaster.
Right.
And now we're like and in now, the market getting daffodils.
Right. Yeah. Now the plague is going to happen next week. Look at what everybody's wearing. We're all back in the 1400s
the
right
now. The rats
are
coming. And he gets on a train.
Ooh, the rats.
The bird gave
the cockroaches
a side look like, that should be
funny. Yeah, that's right. She was singing to her cockroaches and rats and pigeons, all her New York creatures, to say goodbye to them, which was funny. But there was a lot less like cockroachery throughout the rest of the movie. And the cockroaches were a fun part of the first one, you know?
So I don't know. It's just a very, it was like bizarre twists and turns where, it just wasn't.
Yeah.
In my mind, I think what bothered Luis is that you could tell, like, okay, well, this is what's going to happen now when the wish wand came.
Right.
Right?
So the wish wand.
You knew she was unhappy, and now there's going to be some type of, like, redemption, which is fine.
She wished for them all to have a perfect fairy tale life. And so it changes reality and whatnot. And everything becomes all happy, and her stepdaughter is singing, which she didn't want to do before. And I was like, all right, we nailed it.
Yeah, and then, I think this was my number one gripe, though. It's like, yes, she's wishing for this fairy tale life and stuff, but when was the first movie, like 12 years ago or something?
Yeah, I think so.
And she's still not over the fact that she's not in a fairy tale anymore? Like, that to me was like, you're psychotic now. Like, it was cute in the first one. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, this is kind of psychotic.
They also went through like a whole bunch of reasons as to why the real world is different. Like, in the animated world, happily ever after basically means like everything's taken care of
every day,
stay in love forever, and everything's super chill.
Right.
But in the real world, happily ever after, I mean, you really got to work for it. You guys still got to go to work. You got to pay your bills. You got to do this, do that. Pay your bills again.
Taxes.
So yeah, she's really just being like, well, the real world bites. Maybe I shouldn't have married into this nonsense.
Like, go home then.
Right. Bye. Yeah, you didn't have to have the baby. What are you doing? So she wishes everything differently. And it starts to pop off when she goes into town and the lady who was the main Karen of the town before has now become the main queen of the town. The evil queen, and she's wearing a very evil dress. She looks great.
It reminds me of Once Upon a Time, like Regina.
Yes, yeah, Regina, yeah, exactly.
It was definitely giving those vibes.
When Maya Rudolph comes on screen in the beginning, like when she's carrying it out, I was like, oh snap, I forgot Maya Rudolph is in this movie. This movie's gonna be great. And I kind of just like kept waiting for them to give her a funny line to say, or let her do her improv.
Fault.
Like she's on The Good Place, which I don't know if you guys have seen, but it's a show about like the afterlife and how it looks like in a kind of a corporate sense or whatever. And so at one point, Maya Rudolph comes in and she's playing the judge. She's basically like the All Father. She is God, right?
Right.
And so And she is so hilarious in that role. Like, she's giving them the line. She's telling them, like, how it works, how heaven works, how the bad place works, and all this stuff. And then she's just slipping in zingers left and right, left and right. And I'm like, all right, this lady is the best. And she was in, what was that movie, Bridesmaids, where she was the main bride, and she was hilarious in that. Pooping in the street and whatnot.
She's super funny.
She's super funny. And so, like, this entire movie, I was like, here we go. Here comes Maya Rudolph's big line. This is the reason they put her in the movie. And it's just
I don't know why she's
And then she just kind of ends the scene with, like, hmm. And I'm like, dang, where's it at,
and Maya? She's not, no offense to her, she's not a great snarler. Like, it's not her.
Yeah. If she wasn't going to be funnier, she at least could have been meaner. You know? She wasn't even that evil.
This movie was giving me the vibes. What was that movie we watched that was like, it was like fairy tales, like villain, it's not High School Musical, it's like the new High School Musical.
Descendants?
Yeah. Wasn't, Maya Rudolph wasn't in that. But, no. But the character she was playing was kind of similar.
Oh, to one of the characters from the Descendants?
The evil queen or whatever. Like, it was giving me those vibes. My son is very energetic.
And he's fascinated by all the chords we got going on out here.
He's ready to be the new podcast. Maybe.
Yes.
Let's see. Here. What do you have to say?
Well, they've heard him.
I'm sure, that they can hear him. Okay. Anywho. So my thought as I'm watching this is, like, I don't know why we had to go down the evil stepmother route.
Right.
Because if we're going for, like, a happy... Did she say perfect fairy tale life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's...
It's definitely not perfect if...
yeah, so I don't know how that counted as a perfect fairy tale life.
This conflict.
Feel like that, number one, isn't my wish, yo.
Right.
But I think it would have been more interesting had they come up with some kind of original way for, like, the family to, like, come together to defeat Maya Rudolph and her lackeys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Versus, yes, like, him going off to slay a fake dragon.
Slaying a dragon. It's in a cave. You can see its nose.
And the girl being, I don't know.
What happened with her?
She had no point in this movie. Like, there was no point to her character.
She's Morgan. She's a stepdaughter from the first one. And in this, she's like, I don't like it when you sing songs and talk about magic and whatnot. I just want to be a normal kid. I was like, all right, that makes sense. And then she wishes for a fairy tale life. And, like, her personality is completely changed. She's just a singing daughter now. And she's like, oh, I have to fall in love with the prince or whatever. Like, what is she doing? She's just... And she doesn't go to school anymore. She does chores.
That's what I'm saying.
They brought that up.
She's Cinderella.
Right. And then she gets the evil stepmother treatment, where she gets locked in a room and belittled and everything that Mother Gothel said, entangled, you know, all that stuff. And then she is in danger from the wand and Maya Rudolph at the end. I don't remember what happens in the middle of the movie with that character. You're right. A whole lot of nothing. But, like,
whole lot of nothing.
This is where my WandaVision brain was going. I was like, oh, snap. She changed her whole personality. She's going to want to break out of this and be furious at her mother. And that will actually make her the villain of the story, because she tried to erase who she was.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen. It didn't come up. She's like, no, this is fine. There's a hunky guy, and he likes me now. So I'm cool. So let's see, what else is happening? Oh, that's right, the husband, he becomes a hero now instead of going to his boring lawyer job or whatever he does.
I will not lie to you, though, it was very, very funny when...
He was on the train, huh, the first time?
No, when... That was kind
of
funny.
But when Corny... A little bit more of that.
When Corny Collins comes and he is like, what are you doing? Are you going to your, like... I don't know what he says, but he says something like, are you going on an adventure?
He's
like,
a quest or whatever?
No, I'm going to work. And he's like, take my soul.
He's like, no.
Yeah, that was funny.
No.
I don't need your sword.
Take my soul.
And he took it.
He makes him take it. So he's walking, gets on the train.
With the sword.
With the sword. And then the other guy's like,
I don't know if you're going to need that. We just get on the train every day. It's over and over and over again.
Oh, I thought that was cute.
Let's see here. Oh, that's right. Maya Rudolph's character Lou. Maya Rudolph's character goes back to her lair with her stepdaughter lackeys or whatever, and she starts asking her mirror on the wall, which is Oscar from The Office. Oh, and
there was somebody else too. He was in Mr. Iglesias. He was the mean teacher.
Oh yeah.
Oh right. And Gabriel Iglesias' show.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. So she asks the mirror, who's the most powerful of them all? And Oscar's like, it's, what's her face? Amy Adams over there down the street. She's the most powerful. And Maya Rudolph's like, what? This is impossible. You know, classic Evil Queen stuff. And then she makes it her mission to track down the wishing wand. And she sends...
And then she goes, hold on. I don't know what the other girl's name is, the one from Glee. But she's like, yeah, oh, no, she didn't say prettiest. She said most powerful. And right. Then... he's like, oh, okay. And then she doesn't like say anything. She goes, oh.
Oh, I'm not the prettiest either. Jama Mays is that actress's name. She plays Ruby. And then Yvette Nicole Brown plays the other one. Her name is Rosaline. And they're wearing the same dresses from Cinderella that the stepsisters wear.
All of these characters are just... like just famous enough that I know them from like the one thing
from and other stuff.
I can't like break them from that.
Right.
Like Community.
Exactly.
Glee.
You guys keep saying Corny Collins, but that dude is Cyclops from the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. I mean, Corny Collins.
Corny Collins.
Yeah.
I'll even say that.
Yeah. And then
I like Cyclops.
Well, at least for this role. Like that's
the musical type of
Yeah, for sure.
He's Patrick corny. Dempsey.
He's corny. Patrick Dempsey. Ooh, he's looking old. Who's he in?
I don't know, but he's looking old.
He was, yeah.
I was looking at the press for this movie, and like he has like salt and pepper hair in the movie, and he has stark white hair in real life. Like he bleached it.
Dang.
He bleached it, or it's like just old guy hair.
If it's old guy hair, it's like extra. Like he did it up.
Like he using that purple shampoo.
Yes. Every day in the shower.
On the edge.
Hang on. Oh. I gotta go to 2023. Excuse me.
Is it that right there?
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
Woo!
That's just.
He said, you ever heard of a silver fox? I'm a silver unicorn.
6 hours to dye his hair blonde. Like, what? Well, because look. It was that dark. But why is it that light?
He embraced his gray and did this.
It's not necessary, brah.
Yeah.
Just, like, let it grow out.
Right. It was fine. Like this. You know? Anywho, Patrick. Wow.
All right, listeners. Andre's going to give you a little bit of that crazy white blonde picture later.
Yes.
You're not going to do it.
I'll post the picture. let's see here.
Andre, too, will be dyeing his hair.
No. I don't want Cisco hair, okay? Leave me alone. younger listeners, Google Cisco. What's the faces? Oh, also, at some point, Pip, the chipmunk from the first movie, he comes back to this movie. But as Giselle grows more evil throughout the movie, he gets more evil as well, and he ends up turning into an evil cat. An evil CG cat. And the cat CG, I think, was the worst CG of the whole movie.
It was pretty disgusting.
But he does have a fun little scene where he breaks into a place and steals some stuff or something. That's right. The lackeys come in. The thing one and thing two, they steal the magic wand from the baby because the baby was holding it. And nobody's watching the baby. and then they take it back to Maya Rudolph, whose character's name is Monroe? Malvina.
Malvina.
Malvina, Monroe. Blah, 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 blah.
Did she ever have a husband that popped up or no?
Her in the movie? Herself? No, I don't think so.
Are you trying to eat my knee, dude?
Did she mention a husband? I don't remember.
I don't know. I'm just saying that I don't know what town in America would allow the woman to, you know.
Well, I mean, she's not the mayor, you know. She's just main lady number one. She's number one lady of the whole town.
Yeah, okay. What has that ever happened?
Dude, wasn't Nancy Pelosi the mayor of San Francisco?
I didn't say anything about being the mayor.
I think you're right.
I think there's a current mayor that's a female in San Francisco.
Too. Right, there are plenty of
I'm
female
not
leaders.
There's not
and
female.
I'm pretty sure
in America,
Ami Blanc is the mayor of Turlock.
Let me.
Ami.
Ami
Blanc.
Blanc.
She's not listening, but Luis did not vote for you.
She ain't listening. Amy, put it in the comments if you're listening right now. Shout out. She ain't listening. Anyway.
Luis didn't vote for her because of her hair.
Amy, stop listening. Amy, get out of here.
Oh, my gosh. We made it, guys. Amy Blueblock's listening to us.
Not Amy Adams. Your hair is perfect.
Hillary Clinton status, and you don't trust that.
Hey, speaking of hair, I read a trivia fact earlier that says, despite being... This is the exact quote. Despite the fact that Amy Adams has ginger hair, she opted for a wig instead while filming.
What?
Apparently that was a wig the whole time.
Well, ginger doesn't mean it's red.
Okay, so that makes sense
ginger
to me.
Ginger could be like light carrot.
Did anyone light else carrot. Think that her hair looked weird at points during the movie?
A little
yes.
cakey.
Definitely. A little cakey. A little bit like cake. Mm-hmm.
Well, but the color
fondant.
Kept doing weird things like right
like
here.
Fondue.
Like in her...
No. Fondant.
Like on her temples?
Yeah, like right in the temple area, like it. I swear it was like a different color. Maybe it was our TV or something, but it made it look like there was a like darker spot right next.
Oh,
to the
I agree with you. And now that you're saying it's a wig, then you know.
Yeah, big wig was definitely involved in this movie. I think Maya Rudolph's rocking a wig. Wouldn't surprise me if Patrick Dempsey was wearing a wig. Now that I know he got shock white hair, you know, just cover that up. With some salt and pepper non-nonsense. Oh, yeah, Ben Rad, that's not a wig. anywho, aside from big wiggery, let's see
big
what else.
Wiggery.
What else is happening? Oh, that's right. Because Amy Adams made this magical reality-altering wish, it's sucking up all the magic from Andalasia. So when Morgan gets transported there. By Amy Adams, who is also doing this like Jekyll and Hyde, Hulk and Dr. Banner, good
switch.
And bad, flip-floppity thing, Gollum and Smeagol. She was doing the back and forth, which was really odd. I didn't like it that much, except for the one shot where she's talking to Morgan, and it's like cutting to one side of Morgan's shoulder, and you see a good side of her, and then the other side of Morgan's shoulder is bad side. That was a cool effect, but that was it. That was the only part I liked. So she's doing all this, and while she's coherently the real her, she's like, Morgan, you have to go to Andalasia and save us. You have to get some help. Help us. Bye. And then she shoves her through the wishing well, and she goes to the animated world. And like I said, I did enjoy the 2D animation. I liked it a lot. It made me like miss like a fully 2D animated movie. That would be cool to see again one day, Disney. Hello. Hello, Disney.
Because it is, there's something nostalgic about it, I think, mm-hmm. for our generation where that's all we had.
Right.
And it
sure.
was beautiful in its own way. And now that you see what it could look like,
right,
it's
yeah.
even more like, wow.
There's some 2023 the animation stuff. The animation stuff is just, you know, CG. So anyway, while Morgan's down there, everybody's like, oh my God, Morgan, we're so tired. It's all nasty down here. All the magic is gone. We have to do everything ourselves. It's awful.
How dare I wash a pot?
Right. So she and Idina Menzel, they run over to the memory tree.
The tree of remembrance.
The tree of remembrance, because it turns out that in order for Amy Adams to, Giselle, in order for Giselle to go back to herself, she has to remember what her real life was like. And so they go to her memory tree, which is dying. All her memories are gone, except for the memories that include Morgan. So Morgan remembers. They sing this.
Which he has to show yourself.
Yeah. We get the powerful love ballad. Love power. That's what it sounded like to me. Dina gets to sing. And then the memories are implanted into a piece of paper. What is a piece of paper? Oh, it's the memory tree that Morgan drew when she was a child or something like that. And then we dive into like the climax of the film where Malvina has the wand and is going to use it to keep everything the way that it is, where she has powers and is a queen and whatnot. And also Andalasia is being destroyed and all the vines from Andalasia are coming up through the bottom of reality to infect the real world.
It's very confusing.
And also Morgan gets kidnapped by Malvina, who is going to use her against Giselle. And Patrick Dempsey has to go stab a clock with a sword. That is the climax of the film.
Yeah, he's like, quote unquote, stopping time to the 12 right. Present.
Because once the clock strikes midnight, then everything will stay as it is. And Giselle will stay evil and Andalasia will be destroyed or whatever. Which also includes Giselle being destroyed because she's from Andalasia. And you would think that that would break the reality spell that she created. But I guess that's not how it would go. But...
You don't know.
I guess I don't know. I didn't. Thank goodness. So yeah, all of that is happening. And Giselle helps Morgan realize that she is her daughter. So she has magic from Andalasia, even though they don't actually share a blood relation. But, you know, metaphors and whatnot work magically too. So...
Magical metaphor.
So she is able to put a stop to this whole farce of a reality, and they go back to living in the suburbs like regular people. And that is the end of the movie?
Well, and that was a hard one for me. Like, they did, they, when you foreshadow so hard that we literally saw the whole movie,
right?
Right. Like, right. You did it too hard. Literally, the entire song of Courtney and Idina coming in to talk about the magic right. of Andalasia
yes.
and this wandy wand that you wish upon. That thing?
Right. And we didn't even
She's
talk about the clippy.
Daughter of Andalasia. And the other daughter's just like, well.
What about me?
Okay, me and my fakeness are going to go walk right. upstairs now.
Peace out. I'm not real.
That was like, okay, well, we see where this whole movie's going. Thanks for that. That's nothing.
After they get back to the real world, Morgan awakens in their house and everything's normal. Only she and Giselle are aware of the events of the movie, while everyone else believes it was a dream because they're the ones who used the wand, I guess. Giselle apologizes to Malvina for stepping over her plans, and they end up becoming like best buds. Oh, she's on the town council.
Mm.
So she's the head of the town council. She's not the mayor, but she's the head of the council and therefore gets
don't really
to
know what that means,
run
okay.
things.
She's in the city council.
Yeah. Sometime later,
Councilwoman
Robert,
Malvina.
Patrick Dempsey, has moved his practice to Monroeville, so he no longer has to take the train. Morgan and Tyson have started dating. Tyson is the hottie with the body. And Nancy and Edward arrive for another visit to the Phillips in their now happy life.
I don't like the name Tyson because it makes me think of chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You know,
yeah,
like.
Tyson chicken. That's for sure. It makes me think of a boxer, Mike Tyson.
Well, so face tattoos and chicken.
It makes me think of a lith with a face tattoo.
Speaking of Tyson, Tyson Fury beat up Jake Paul.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Actually, no, I went to decision.
Oh.
People say Jake Paul's actually a good
right,
fighter.
A pretty good fighter, right?
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But I guess he is.
I mean.
What else?
Bad YouTuber. Good yeah. fighter. Let's yeah. go.
Anything's possible in this life.
So that is it for Disenchanted. We went through basically the whole thing. I wonder.
Sadly, it was an unnecessary that ended up being unnecessary.
Yeah.
Was very sad.
Yeah. It wasn't my favorite.
Especially because that, like, I think we all, like, we all meaning not Michelle, because she liked it the first time and she asked us to do it a lot and we were like, but I think the rest of us were like, oh, that was actually a really good movie. Yeah.
Enchanted.
Like, surprisingly
yes.
good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was definitely surprised when I saw that movie.
But then,
and
like,
so it makes sense that they would make a sequel to it.
But then it kind of also makes sense that it would be bad because we right. don't do Disney. We don't do sequels well.
Right.
Why do we keep doing them?
Right. And I can see how Disney Plus is a big factor in that, right? They're like, well, we got to have content for the streaming platform. Let's just make all the content. Let's just make it, make whatever. And, you know, we just did Hocus Pocus 2 as well not too long ago. Yeah. And I think I would say that I enjoyed that a lot more than I enjoyed this.
Oh, yeah. Hocus Pocus 2 was way better.
Right. But even still, not a fantastic film by any means, right? So I think that's the kind of level of quality that they're going into some of these Disney Plus originals with. Is like,
but I don't need them to be Disney Channel original movies.
Right.
No, and they really don't need to be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. I just don't know.
And they had Mencken on the track, and Mencken failed us too. It was like, mm-mm.
I thought you said Megan on the track, like, eh. And then I realized Megan on the track.
Oh, yeah. Megan
was on the track.
I didn't understand one word you said. I just sat here smiling, like, eh. What'd you say?
Sorry. Alan Mencken was on the soundtrack.
Was not doing his best on the soundtrack.
And yeah, definitely not doing his best. Like, I was waiting for a song to be funny. Like,
couldn't even tell Alan Mencken did this.
Right. If I hadn't read his name somewhere, definitely would not thought it was him.
They probably
didn't need to pay his rate. Well, Lin-Marin would have maybe have done a better job than this too. I don't know.
Don't say maybe. Yes, we do know it would have been better.
Right. Alan was like, you know what, guys. I'm done.
It would have been better.
I'm tired. Done.
He's British?
I don't know.
Australian?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Where's he from, homie?
I don't know.
You have to look this up.
Yeah, let me find out and I'll just do the accent.
I'm done
with this. He's American.
I was about to say, he gave him a
big old accent.
Is that Alan Mencken?
That's him. That's Al.
He kind of looks like John Travolta.
No, he does not. John Travolta's skin is pulled so tight on the back of his head. Did you see him in that Super Bowl commercial?
No.
He was singing Summer Days from Grease with the dudes from Scrubs. And he's completely bald right now, you know, which is okay look for him. But it does like somebody's got a paper clip on the back of his head skin. It looks like it's pulled pretty tight.
I got him. Mm-hmm. Like the facelift type of thing?
I mean, maybe, but the face looks good. It just looks like the skin is pulled farther this way.
No.
Yes, it's bad.
I guess I need to go look, but anyhow.
Aging.
Summer loving.
Summer loving. Happens so fast. On Rotten Tomatoes, this film is sitting pretty at a 36% on the tomato meter.
Dude, I was about to say, if this thing had a higher rating than Ant-Man, I would have flipped.
Right.
What did Ant-Man get?
So Ant-Man is still unbelievably low. I think it's at like 48% or something like that.
Wasn't it at like 38 though?
No, I think as low as it got.
Oh, it was in the early
40s. Like 45 or something.
Quantum. Why is this title so long? Quantumania. Rotten Tomato. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania on Rotten Tomatoes has a 48%. With an audience score of 83%.
Okay, so they're good about being done.
Yes.
And we realize that has nothing to do with this. No. But we just went and watched that movie, and we all thought, like, oh, this is a good
movie.
Quite
enjoyable. Quite fun.
Best Marvel? No. But, like, not 40s.
Right. Definitely not in the 40s. And the fact that this is only 12% lower than that is...
absolutely unreal.
Right. It's a mistake.
What's the audience score?
The audience score is 52%. So there's an audience consensus and a critics consensus. The critic says, although Amy Adams remains just as engaging as ever, Disenchanted lacks the magic that made its predecessor a modern fairy tale classic.
Okay, yes.
And the audience consensus says, as fun as it is to see the original cast reunited, Disenchanted is mostly just a forgettable disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Agreed.
Yep, that is completely agreed.
And I agree with that first one, too, because Amy Adams, like... I haven't seen her in a whole bunch of stuff, but like my girl is cute.
Right. Yeah. Like, I like
oh
her.
Oh my gosh. She like
she's
just
a good actress.
Squeeze her. She's so cute in every scene, but ay caramba.
But yeah, this
I just want to watch the Muppets again now with her. Isn't that
oh yeah.
Her and
Jason
and Jason Segel.
Muppet Man.
Am I your Muppet?
Or am I
Is she in the other movies too, or is it just the first one?
I think she's just in that first one. Maybe she makes like a cameo in the Mother Muppets.
Again, I realize that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yeah, this just wasn't necessary. And there's so many things they could have done.
Right. There's other stuff. There's other sequels to be made. You know.
So let's go ahead and go into our ratings. I'm going to give it a 6.
6.
It's fine. Luis. He's all over there. Well, 6 is nice, apparently.
Dude. Unwatchable, according to Luis.
He didn't
give it a number.
He didn't finish it.
Right. 5. 4, 3, 2.
Dang, that's awful. The lowest you've ever given a movie.
This 2 it is. Awful. Even Kronk's New Groove got dude, some threes out of us, I think. I feel like I give it a 4 or something ridiculous.
We didn't do that on the podcast, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I thought we did.
No, we didn't. Well, we just talked about it.
We just watched it for fun. We tried to watch it. We got like 15 minutes.
I think we had watched something else, and then that came up, and we watched it
right after we watched Emperor's New Groove.
Right.
Yeah. Which I will tell you that I didn't sit down and watch it with the kids, but the kids watched it, and I overheard part of it, and like, it was actually kind of funny.
Of Kronk's New Groove?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, we had to get past whatever we had watched.
Right. we didn't make it very far.
Maybe don't watch it right after you watch Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm going to give this movie... It definitely got worse in my mind as we talked about it. You know? Like, I watched it, and I was like, that was all right. And then I sat on it for a couple of days, and I was like, it was okay. And now I'm like, that was rough. So I'm going to give it a 5.
I'm giving it a 5 as well.
5 out of 10.
Deuce.
5.
I mean, that's a hot load of garbage all the way around, sadly.
For real. Yeah. And it's good that it didn't come out in theaters, because that would have been a tanker. And I don't know how much money they spent on it, because that information is... Plus. Yeah, it's not available. But, too much, probably.
Well, on another note... I'm pretty excited for the movie we're going to do next.
Oh, snap.
Because it's a classic.
We're taking it back. Way back into time. We are going back to the 1993...
The year I was born.
Good.
Live-action animated mouths feature film, Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. We got 2 dogs and a cat. And they are not at home no more.
They are not at home.
Mm-hmm. I think if you haven't seen Homeward Bound, it must have come on like a gajillion times on the Disney Channel when we were younger, right? Cause I remember seeing it a lot of times. So it's definitely a nostalgia film for us. I remember it being pretty good in general, but I don't think I've watched it in... over 20 years.
Oh, you know? No, I haven't watched it since I, like you said, like maybe watched it as a kid.
Right.
On maybe Disney Channel. But I remember, I'm pretty sure I had it on VHS.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I watched it like on TV. So we'll see. Dude, I'm just going to say that.
Sorry.
No.
He was literally silent at my mother's house. Not one word out of his mouth. Quiet.
Well, technically, no words here either.
He was just like, whatever. Here, he's like, yeah, what's up? I'm home.
Well, we're all talking, so he's like, I'm talking too.
This is how he acts at our house. Just wild. But we have a playpen, so.
It's just cute. Yeah,
he's just cute. Screaming. It's very funny.
But he's standing up now. So.
Look at that.
It sounds wonderful to my ears, listeners. I don't know what it sounds like to you, but he's pretty cute. Yeah.
But they also don't get to see him.
Right, that's true. He's pretty cute. And he's not of their loins. Here, what do you want to tell the listeners,
Trey? Say thanks for letting me yell on the podcast.
Oh. All right. that is it.
I am disenchanted.
We have all been disenchanted. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. Check us out on social media. We're at the Walt Vault Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Go there. Slide into our DMs. Let us know what you thought of this film. Is this anybody's favorite movie ever? Let me know.
I'd like to meet the person.
Also, let us know if you want like a water buffalo or a rhinoceros as your emotional support animal. Drop that in the comments as well. We will see you guys next time for some Homeward Bound goodness. The vault is now closed.